Blog Talk Radio.
I was born in a world without a lot of money. Through my years of growth, I have faced a situation that as an adult, life for me has been no good. For many things that came my way, they just simply didn't seem fair. People say that I am something that the world that is safe. Step one, two steps, three. I'm afraid that I will wind up falling with my feet. I can't help but believe that someone, my daddy, my mama, or even God himself, set me up. Just what's going on, I can't say, but I refuse to give up for cutting this line. With all I got, I'm looking up to the table. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dodson. And tonight, we are going to deal with a serious question. I want to answer for you, what is the truth about saving anyone wanting to be free? The real question is, do we want to be free? There are millions of Americans frustrated with personal circumstances, ranging from finances to family stress. Many turn to the church or other advisors for the truth about how they can find relief. The number is 657-383-0944. And we're going to bring it just like it is. Tonight, we're going to have our regular panelists to talk very directly to us about some things. But I'm going to first begin with a little backdrop for what it is that we are looking at. And after which, we're going to have Pastor Ricky Waller to come and speak with us. And we're going to use as a textbook tonight something that I know that he's very well and apt at teaching from. So again, join us tonight and give us a call right here at 657-383-0944. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and you're on live. If you're listening via Facebook, please give us a call. If you're online on the Blog Talk Radio site, give us a call. We'd love to entertain your question, your comment, and just share with you in dialogue. The truth about saving anyone wanting to be free. You've heard me quote St. John 8:32 many times. At the risk of being super redundant, I'll read it again. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Psalms, the 141st division, and the ninth verse, reads, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. I should like to define some terms for you as we seek to answer some questions tonight. And you'll find that there are various usages of the same concept. But let me first begin with defining what a condition is in relationship to the truth. Condition in the noun form. The circumstances affecting the way in which people live or work especially with regards to their safety or well-being. In layman's terms, conditions are the things, the resources, and the forces around you that cause you to live either a life of happiness or a life of frustration, despair, poverty, and or shame. Now, talk about the word true. We're going to go through different usages of the word true. T-R-U-E, as a synonym, in accordance with fact or reality. Something that is correct, accurate, verifiable, or well documented. Let's keep that in mind. Then let's talk about the truth. So we know what is true. It operates within in accordance with fact and reality. The truth is a noun, which means it's used when we're talking about fact or things that are based in fact and reality, and that follows a certain standard. It is often used in the context of being true to an idea or oneself, being authentic, okay? And then when we move from T-R-U-T-H, now we know that John said that'll make you free. When one exists in reality and fact, you can be made free, or you will be made free, all right? To be truthful, T-R-U-T-H-F-U-L, as an adjective, a person basically is telling or expressing the truth, or they're being honest. On the streets, young people will say they're keeping it 100, they're keeping it real. I'm going to get to something in just a little bit, and we're going to look at this thing real closely. It's related to truth, and this is a noun. And it is having a firm belief in the reliability or the strength of someone or something that is said to be real. If you have reason to doubt or you question something, it causes you to be insecure about it or not to be very comfortable with it. Then lastly, trust. Worthy as an adjective. If it is trustworthy, it is able to be relied on and be seen as honest and truthful. If it is trustworthy. Often people who are hurt, people who tend to have little respect for authority and question everything that comes their way, are individuals who cannot find those who they see as influential or in leadership as being trustworthy. At the beginning of the show, you heard me speak from the voice of someone who is looking for payback. Many young people today are in the streets, and they're expressing rebellion because they have not found those in position they believe to be leaders as trustworthy. They don't believe they share with them the truth. And they also see that there are certain circumstances that affect their ability to be happy and to live the American dream. In fact, one might argue that they have been trapped in a religious perspective that won't allow them to be free. Which begs the question, how does one be free in their faith walk with God, their reliability in man but in God? They're also frustrated because when it comes to the society that they live in, and as a member or a citizen, they question whether or not they are well respected. So how do they find themselves really being free? This is the fear. Young people will tell you today, I'm afraid to get in my car and to go out and do because I'm afraid the police or somebody may get me. In other words, I don't feel like, I don't trust that I'm respected and honored in this society. Then lastly, we want to deal with the issue of individuals feeling trapped in a social experience relative to how to identify myself as an American, Black, Negro, African American, or anything else. Who am I? And what are my rights to reality? A practical, trustworthy, biblical-based guarantee for anyone who is trapped in a world of addiction. In Matthews 9 and 12, it states, healthy people don't need a doctor. Dr. Waller candidly admits, quote, I was sick, end quote. Through this book, one will discover and learn how to experience a life of being well. The reader will find this book easy for the eyes, real to the heart, and led by the Spirit of the Living God. These pages represent Minister Waller's personal thoughts, convictions, pains, and disappointments, as well as his appreciation, his victories, and his unspeakable joy. This is his life, from drug dealing to spiritual healing. Minister Waller states, quote, there are so many people who still love to get high that I thought it was time for me to introduce them to the greatest high of them all. It will last a lifetime, and it's a guarantee, still high, end quote. This is the author of this powerful book, and I believe that it is broken down in such a way that the common man will be able to understand that if you feel trapped, but there is an unspeakable truth that we must identify if you want to be free. I'm honored to, again, share to you with you tonight our panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Pastor. How you doing, man?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine. This is he in the flesh. And let me just say before he begins to speak, this book is on our webpage. You can find it at www.bfcinstitute.com. And you will simply go to that webpage and look on the tab that says Educational Initiative. I'm sorry. Contact Us. Hover over the Contact Us tab. You'll see a Backstore page. At that Backstore page, you'll find the book itself, and you'll be able to, when you make a contribution, he will in turn make a contribution to BFC Institute's efforts to take our message to across America. We've targeted now 11 cities, and we're striving to do so. For the next 4 to 5 months, we endeavor to travel. And we hope that he can travel with us. We want to share this book and the workbook material for BFC Institute relative to helping build community-based structures of trustworthiness to change the lives of many. Pastor Waller, greetings again, sir, and we're glad to have you. Talk to us a little bit about this thing about truth, man.
Pastor Dockery, I'm honored, man, to be here once again to sit on the panel as I have been. I think you're doing a very fine job, man, continuing to reach out to this God's people. However, the time is here, the time is now, and I was just grateful about how you was reading the quotes from the book Still High.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about truth. You're talking about the truth and what truth can do for a person. One don't know the truth, when one don't know the truth, as myself can be the witness that I did not know the truth, and so I was unable to give. But once I stepped out on faith and utilized, quote, my faith, I ran into truth And when I got connected with the truth, it actually made me free. I know you quoted John 8:32, and that had so much power to it. And I think the verse before that, John 8:31, said, "If you continue in my word," if you continue, you indeed are my disciple. In other words, he take claim of you. But some people put his word in motion and then put his word down. But to continue to walk according to his word, that's what makes one free. And see, I heard he was able. I heard he can do anything except to fail. But I didn't just hear that. I continued to seek him. And then I found out that he actually is the way maker. And he made a way and he made me free. And I'm going to share this about the truth. It's something worth having. It's something that I think the people deserve. We've been lied to long enough. In our communities, there's a knowledge and a wisdom of man's wisdom that causes people to take chances and take chances on indulging in many areas of getting high. And you notice that the book did talk about a practical, trustworthy, biblical-based guarantee for anyone who is trapped in a world of addictions. And it didn't just state it just so happened drugs overtook my life. And so I started to do a lot of things. And and so just briefly, as we begin to do this dialogue, about how powerful of a statement it is to be free. People think you have to get high to be cool, to be somebody, to be hip. They got all these cliches when it comes down to why you should get high, why you should try this drug, or why you should try this smoke, or, you know, just whatever's going on, whatever's the going thing at that time. You know, it's very interesting, man, you know, to, again, to look back, as I would be able to do right now, and I'm so grateful that I can recall and be able to share with someone else to let them know that they, too, qualify to get free. If they are bound right now, there is a simple and powerful way to get free. And it's, and I would say you have to start somewhere. So in this book, I would say I seen something here that gave me a reminder, and he was talking about darkness as a lifestyle. Then it says the light is also a lifestyle. And then it asks the question, which will you choose? And that's the part I had to play in it. You know, which would I choose? Would I choose darkness? Or would I choose the light? Because they're both our lifestyles. What is darkness? Okay, darkness is when you walk into something that looks like it's joy. It looks like they're having a lot of fun, and you don't see the trap. And the light is on. You know, it looks like it's noon. And so it's, that don't look like it's darkness because everybody seems like they're grooving. And all of a sudden, I stepped into darkness and didn't know that it was darkness.
Okay.
And I got you. And I got captured.
Let me ask you.
Let
me ask you this, Brother Pastor. Let me ask you this. You were speaking earlier about some of the motivations for people experimenting with drugs. Of course, we can relate that to other destructive behaviors. You know, engaging in gambling, engaging in promiscuity. And things of that nature, but we're talking about drugs right now because this is closely related to your experience. You mentioned that for you, and you believe others, because, and what I was thinking of is they had a low self-esteem or lack of confidence in themselves to determine that I don't have to do this just to keep up with somebody else or to be somebody. And that's the one truth. That's the one truth that a lot of young people miss today. I want you to speak to that. I noticed in your book, one of your chapters are talking about your influences while on the corner and watching other people and watching other people and how that in many ways shaped the character and your identity. Talk to me about that, if you will.
Yeah, the chapter about being on the corner, you know, watching the guys standing on the corner, they were styling and profiling, you know, and it looked like they was having a lot of fun. You know, they was talking. And I was a little boy sitting in the yard playing with a basketball. Or I could be in the window. Or I can be in the window, looking out the window, watching them still standing on the corner. And it seemed to be having a great time. And that's the starting point. But you never know who's watching you or who's listening to you. And that could, as you just said, that could shape a person's desire to say, I would like part of what they're doing, even though God had given me a gift in a basketball. Just so happened that was just one of my gifts that I didn't even know that I was gifted in. But watching standing on the corner became more attracted to that than the basketball I had in hand. And so I ended up being lured in to that glamorous look, which was the trap. And I was even forewarned by those that were in the trap that meant well, that was before me. They even shared with me as I started to grow up. And they seen that I was aimed toward doing the drugs that they were doing. And they told me, they're in my book as well. They told me, they said, once a junkie, always a junkie. And they tried to tell me to do this drug, you know, but they didn't lead by a good example. They was talking it, but they wasn't walking it. As I said, they very much meant well. They didn't mean me no harm at all. But did it bring harm? Yes, it brought harm, man. So one day I tried the drug, and the next thing I remember was 20 years of my life, I was walking in darkness. And it dawned on me that they was telling me the truth, but they wasn't showing me the truth. If that makes sense. You see? And so that's why it's good to be mindful about what you do in front of someone that's innocent, that's a person that's looking, desiring to get into the trap without knowing that there's a trap. So there was not a sign that said, this is a trap. Don't come in here. It wasn't like that.
So now let me ask you this. Say that we are in Miami-Dade, Florida, in the Pork and Beans neighborhood, which is a housing project that's been around for the last 80 years in Miami, and one of the highest homicide rates across the country, just in that neighborhood. High poverty, poor schools, families in disarray, socialists. All right, no disrespect to them. You and I are there because that's where I'm convinced the Lord is sending us. That's one of the areas. How do you get the young man that has a high-powered Tech 9 with a banana clip on it to understand, sir, that this image that you have of who you are, there's no truth to it? There's no validity in fact nor reality. Where do we start with that?
Well, that's a very, very, very good question. You know, it's the mindset. It's according to how far the person's identity has drifted from what it started out versus where it is at that time. So to meet a person where they are.
Let's just keep in mind, he's only 15, 16 years old. So he really don't know how to urinate straight without wetting the toilet.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? But he got a Tech 9. He thinks that gives him manhood. That makes him a man.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so that's where you want to reach them right where they are and let them know that you have been 15 before and 16. And I understand that I played the same role. Yeah, see, I played the same role that they were in, that they are in at that time.
I see.
Related.
I see.
Big guns and things like that. And so how did that take place? It all came because, again, I seen others having fun, and so all of a sudden, you know, I'm a part of it as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, how do you reach those people? How do you reach those people? You have to have a great amount of knowledge and wisdom to be able to share with them if they're open. First, I had to be open-minded, and that's when you lead by example versus just telling the person. I have to show them the scars, that the wounds that I have received from getting started as a young person and how it elevated into much greater destruction. Basically, it's called self-destruction. And uh-huh. if they would give, you know, a moment of their time, and especially right now, you know, I would encourage them to take a look at the book and you know, if they don't mind, because I'm sure a lot of them are smart by way of able to read. And right. this is an easy read, as you just said. And I would just give them opportunities to just kind of share my gift. You know, things like that. You want to make sure that you don't try to belittle the person, because, again, they probably didn't raise your hand and say, I want to be in a trap.
I don't mean to be rude, but you're hitting some key. You remember I defined at the beginning of the show the word condition. It being the circumstances or the forces that make you act a certain way. I like the way you said that. They didn't. You recognize that. They didn't. A single mother didn't wake up expecting to try to raise children by themselves.
No.
They wasn't looking to go through the heartaches and the hardships, and the babies themselves weren't looking to try to struggle and find a way for themselves on the street. They didn't ask for that.
No. And be mindful, that 15, 16-year-old kid, you know, is basically probably gifted in some other area.
That's right.
And just at the time, something have took over their mind. You know, when your mind become blind, see, if the enemy can blind the mind, and most of us, again, in my come-up, in my era, we didn't know nothing about the Bible. We heard about the Bible, but we didn't know anything about the Bible, so we didn't practice that, okay? So what we learned, we went for that, and that's what street law offered us. And so, you know, you don't blame an individual with a gun in his hand at the age of 15 or 16. You just do all you can to present information to and trust that they may hearken to it. In other words, just to be able to listen and let them know that that's how I got in the trap. I was a good listener, so I got in the trap by listening to the things I was hearing others saying, and I didn't know that they was in a trap. If you don't mind, Pastor, I'd like to share something
Go right here.
Let's just say he's a 15 or 16-year-old kid is able to be reached, but nobody is stepping up, and nobody is continuing. And all they're doing is sitting back as a spectator watching this kid with his gun saying he ought to be ashamed of himself.
I see. Okay, talk to me about that, bro, preacher.
Yeah. In other words, so here's a person that's in church that should have information. You know, they got the Almighty and the all-wise God and got the Bible.
Right.
They got great information in it and things like that, but yet still refuse to step up to the young kid and offer him information. Let me say this. In the Word of God, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, which I stated in my book, I realized what I got captured into. It says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. In other words, it is his will. It is the enemy's will that the young man take that gun and do harm to people that would cause and afflict someone, quote, in the community or outside of the community. And that means that it become a style because he's not in his right mind at this time. And so at the age of 15 and 16, how can we get him to be restored and say, okay, brother, look here, I want to let you know so you won't have to go into the trap as deep as I was.
That's right.
We can get you out of the stage and you can become a witness to help other young brothers and the one that's coming after you, and it won't be so bad now because we're reaching them what they're doing. instead of
Let's
waiting.
Let's stay right there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You own something right there. Let's stay right there for a second. You own something right there. All right, we done left Liberty City, and we have went to Houston to that population, similar population. We're in Houston, Texas now. Okay?
Okay.
And we're in the same condition, just another little young man strapped as well with a high-powered weapon, feeling like this is my hope. Now, who is it that he would find trustworthy and can depend on them, Pastor, to tell them what is good and profitable for? So, because what I'm getting at is this, and I'm sure you know this, and you made it, you made the point that someone has got to present themselves or represent the trustworthiness or reliability of the word we speak of behind the four walls of the church.
That's correct.
Somebody's got to represent that. Somebody's got to embody that in order for these young people to be able to see they can trust that.
That's correct. I mean, because if they don't see no light, you know, while they're thinking they're in the light, going to church and doing all the things that's required in church, basically they become useless.
Absolutely.
Because it's not once you leave the church. You see?
That's right.
And then I hear people say these things to me, Pastor. I guess that would discourage a person if they didn't know any better. I know how dedicated and, quote, devoted I was to street life and how I lived day by day. And for many years of my life, I was in darkness. And when I came to the light and got free, I was told, according to Matthew 5:16, to let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So I knew then that the light can't just shine in church. I know you look good in there, and you're sounding
good
in church.
Pretty much
you can look good in church, right from the soul. But what happens when you leave the church? Do darkness come back up over you once you leave the church? Or is it still the light? So if the light is on you in church, it should be on you when you leave out of the church. So let me say this. The reason I'm saying this, I notice here, according to the word of God again, and I haven't always known the word of God. It wasn't even a part of my life when I was out there in the street. So I understand and have compassion for the young brothers in those different cities. But listen to what the word says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2 and verse
Give
number 23. It
Give
says,
it to
the weak. This is what Paul was doing. He was dedicating his life. He says, to the weak, I became as weak, meaning I can relate to you, that I might win the weak. See, some people may say, you can't reach everybody. Well, I didn't say I was going to reach everybody, but I'm going for everybody. But this is the key to it. He said, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. See, what he was going to save some. If he just went out there and went for them all, he's going to at least save some. Some is better than none. Glory to God. And he says, so now this I do for the gospel's sake, the good news sake, that I might be a partaker to celebrate of it with you. Let's just say in those cities, if those guys get free from getting this book, and I'm nowhere around, but at least I'm able to celebrate it with them because the young brother got free. Even though I'm in Nashville, they may be in Miami or wherever else they may be. But if they get free, that's a celebration right there. You see what I'm saying? So Paul let it be known. He dedicated his life to the weak. People are weak. They need someone who are strong. The Bible says, we then who are strong all the bear the infirmity of the weak. What does that mean?
Okay.
And not to please ourselves. I got pretty excited about that because that's the thing I used to hear people say, God has been good to me. He's been so good to me, I can't keep it to myself.
If that's the case,
then who are you going to tell about it? Weak and hurting people. That's who the people you want to tell about it, the goodness of God. Amen. And so that's what this book was put in motion. There's also a chapter in the book about forsaken talent. I was kind of bothered about that myself. It weighed on me pretty heavy because I know that a lot of brothers have gifts, a lot of sisters have gifts, and somehow by a hit of a drug, it takes and strips them from that. And so God helped me to understand that there's a lot of people, as you read, and you read so well, about it was time for me to tell the people about the greatest high of them all, because so many people still need to get high and tell them they're going to last a lifetime. Let's just say if I'm on heroin, and I'm going to use this for an example because I once upon a time was on heroin, and they tell you it just really, really, really took my life, and it just overtook me and made me do everything it told me to do. But anything that's wrong, I never want to get caught up in it again. So anyway, here I am saying I'm on heroin. I'm feeling bad when I don't have any heroin in me. So I'm purchasing some heroin, and now I feel better. And then when it wear off, I'm feeling bad again. So what I was doing, I was paying big money to be sick.
Wow.
I want you to hear me now. I'm paying big money just to
be
sick.
That's the truth. And that's the truth.
I go down, I'm sick over again, and then I purchase some more. And then something like this happened, Pastor. One day I was unable to get any heroin, even though I got the money.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm really feeling bad now because I have money. And there's no heroin around. I'm sick, feeling bad, can't mess because the control that it had over my life was just phenomenal. It was just outstanding, man. I wouldn't wish it on my enemy. So I discovered in this that now when you're still high, you don't have to look for it anymore. You don't have to wonder if there's any more around. This high stay with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. Man, that's the greatest hit that I ever had, was taking one hit, and it lasted for 24 years. I've been delivered from that chemical that long, and all I took was one hit. And one may say, what do you mean, one hit? And I would say to you that the word says, oh, taste and see that the Lord God is good. And, you know, and that's what I had a taste one day, Pastor. And I think I haven't had anything this strong in my life. And so that's why this book is in existence. God knew that I had a heart for my friends, and he knew I had a heart for people that were weak and that didn't have the strength. And there's another generation getting ready to walk into the trap. And so we need to do something with this now generation to let them know how to get out of a trap. So when this next generation comes, they won't have to worry about getting in the trap because they'll have something to pass down to them. Right now, the only thing the streetlights have to offer to the next generation is what they learn. You see?
All
and
right.
The streetlights have to do. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. Step in.
I'm sorry. I'd like to go to a brief commercial break, but on the other side of it, I'd like for you to talk to me about the chapter entitled Out of Control, beginning on page 26. Can we, when we come back, can we talk about that?
Sure.
All right.
Sure, definitely.
All right. Listening audience, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're talking tonight with our regular panelists, Reverend Ricky Waller, who is also an author of a very instructive piece, literary work, entitled Still High. What we're doing, though, is talking about how the truth, what the truth is about saving anyone who wants to be free. And he is telling us that there is, in fact, a trap. When we come back on the other side of this brief message, we will talk about a little bit the title, the chapter entitled Out of Control, because I think that is a very relevant thing, and I'll kind of go from there. So in just a few minutes, we'll be right back.
All right.
Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's BFC INSTITUTE.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're on with panelists. Pastor Ricky Waller, we're talking about his book tonight, Still High, in relationship to the truth about saving anyone wanting to be free. When I say anyone, I mean anyone. White, black, Hispanic, whatever your case is. If you want to be free from addiction to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to gambling, to lying to yourself, to self-destruction, whatever it is, if you want to be free, there is a truth, and the truth will make you free. Having said that, Pastor Waller, you promised to talk to us about your book on page 26. The title of the chapter is entitled Out of Control. And let me just give a little background. So The truth of the matter, there are people who are out of control. They don't know it. They look to politicians. They look to influential figures and people they see on TV and places like that, and even the preacher, to give them answers, to validate themselves. And when they can't find the answers in those who they've been taught that they can look to for answers, they give up even on their own abilities and their own strengths and the notion that they can be successful or do anything outside of that. When it comes to their own safety and well-being, they feel like, hey, there ain't nobody in charge, and everything is out of control. Talk to me about that, Brother Pastor, and talk to me about your chapter, the words there, and how we can learn something from that.
Yeah, thank you. I think the song that you just rendered, Giving Up Is So Hard to Do, oh, my goodness, man. After I became out of control, getting back to where I was before then, it was just so hard to do. And my life had just come from forsaken talent when I discovered that I'm out of control now. And out of control, the second paragraph here in Out of Control, it says here I was living a fast-paced life. and that's what it was telling me, of ignorance and destruction.
Right.
To keep it real, I was lost. That's what it says. Keep it real, I was lost,
right.
Okay? And I wanted to share something about the time I relate to this young boy who was 15 or 16 that you and I was talking about by an example.
Yes, sir.
It states it says, as I entered my senior year in high school, I was on a focused path of destruction for myself and others.
My Lord.
My heart my heart ached when I think about it today. One of the major factors that contributed to my madness was the flow of money I was experiencing at a young age and my ability to at will, knowing what was out there to be made. I have a money issue also and didn't even know it.
Now, this,
could
next,
you imagine?
This next paragraph is powerful.
You,
give us a little bit of that
please,
next paragraph. That's powerful right there, brother.
Yes, yes. And, and this is what was going on is why I wasn't able to apply this next. If you want to read that, it would be great because it just dawned on me when I was talking about how much money I was getting in the flow of it and I was experiencing it at such a young age and how I was just, you know, just constantly spending and more was coming in and everything. I didn't even know that I was addicted to money at that point. And then
wow.
the second paragraph, Will, it says, I can remember people asking me, Ricky. I mean, just asking me because I'm doing things with the basketball, probably people have never seen before around here, and I don't even know who I am. I'm so out of control.
Talented.
Yes, yeah. I mean, just gifted, just instilled in me. And I don't even, I'm just doing it because I know how to do it. Didn't even say nothing about no pros. I didn't think about not the Globetrotters. Wasn't thinking about anything because I didn't see what I was doing. I was just, so here it is. It says, I can remember people asking me, Ricky, what college are you going to? Or who is recruiting you? This is what I used to say. My answer was always the same. College. College and take a chance on breaking my ankle. I am making more money now than I would going to somebody's college. When I wrote the book, Pastor, I said, how dumb does that sound? He got me. You see? See, the enemy had things like that. You know, breaking my ankle at a young age. I'm talking about breaking my ankle to keep from acknowledging the gift that I have and the money that I was getting, that I was accumulating. I had not a thought about going anywhere other than where I was. Going nowhere fast, man, and just doing harm to my community. I was corrupting my community. And then I noticed that 1 Peter 5:8 said the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And see, he got me, man. He got me, and he misused me, and he caused me to bring such a harm to my whole community. But the thing that I like about this, Pastor, they knew that I wasn't doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
It was in my ignorance. I know that the harm I was bringing that was causing an affliction on my community. And so the enemy used it as a tool, man. And that's why I like to encourage others right now to let people know that the young people that are caught up right now, they just need good information. And this book is available. This book is the purpose and the plan of God to help others, man. And so when you had me to talk about the out of control, I just wanted to say, it's a chance now for me to even look at it for what it's worth and acknowledge the power of words, okay?
Okay.
If you don't mind, Pastor, I want to share something else about the out of control.
Go right ahead.
Yes, because this is a powerful thing that's going on with our young brothers today. Okay.
Okay.
And they're around me kicking it and they're having fun. And remember, I was a team ball player. I never thought I was better than nobody, even though the game fell in my hand and I was in control of the community like I was. But it wasn't like I was thinking that I was better than anyone, you see. And that's probably another reason why I didn't go to the pros because I didn't want to leave my friends behind. Go ahead.
Pastor, hold your thoughts. Don't lose your place where you're coming to. But I just want to say again for our listening audience, and some of you may have heard me say this before, it's odd how you and I met, you know. I came to Nashville from Chicago as a student at Fisk University, and my heart was with the place I came from, which was the project. So I went and volunteered over in John Henry Hale Housing Project, and trying to give something back, you know, even as a student myself. And it was there that I learned much of who was who and what was what in Nashville. Well, it's gone now, but it was a barbershop, and there was a group of boys called themselves the Barbershop Boys. And everybody would tell me about them. And the other infamous character known to many was a guy they called Fat Ricky. Well, unbeknownst to me, 30-some years later, I would meet this fat rookie, and you're listening to him tonight. You're listening to him tonight.
Right.
So when he talks about the destruction that he brought and the fame that it brought him, this false sense of identity and fame, this is real. And this is one of the reasons we're grateful that he's working with us, and we're grateful that we're hearing him live and in person, and why I say this is an instructive book. I'm sorry, what portion you were going to talk about something else from this chapter, you're out of control.
Yes, that's great, Pastor. I mean, this is some of the things that you just said that you heard that was going on once you came into Nashville, and that's the mark
right.
that I had. And it's just a sad thing that it was that way. And God is getting the glory now that, you know, he changed me into another direction. But here's some of the things that some of my friends used to say, Pastor, and they kind of made me admit this is a guy named Fat Bun. His nickname is Fat Bun, and my nickname is Fat Ricky. And so we were standing on the street one day, and and he tried to tell me about, he said, tell the truth, don't you know you the this and that, you the bad thing out here. I said, no, man, don't start all that. He's trying to get me to admit, because ain't nobody else around. He's trying to get me to convince me to admit it. And I wouldn't. I didn't want to do that, because I got all this going on and this and that and other. And he was just from the heart. He wasn't no jealous kind of fella or any of that, you know, and because we grew up together as kids. And so finally, this is some of the things that we used to do right here. In this last paragraph on page 47 of Out of Control,
I used to
joke with my friends. I used to joke with my friends. I got more $100 bills than Van Camp have poking beans. And could you imagine, you know, this is the kind of money that I had. I had $100 bills, and I saw others. I saw another guy that ran the community before I did, and they went to prison in advance when I said the game fell in my hand. And so I used to see them with $100 bills and all of that. So here's the next part of it. For every bean you pull out of a can, I have a $100 bill for it. I was so out of control that I thought it was a reasonable thing to compare the money I had to beans in a can.
Yeah.
I was actually at a point in my life where if I would have made just a few good decisions, I probably could have turned things around. But instead, I was headed for destruction. And that's what Out of Control got me. I was headed for destruction, so I hit the sand, man, and I just went to the bottom, brother. And in doing so, remember this man who came out of a church, and I have to give him his props. Always do.
Testify.
The late Pastor James Cook, that's a man that's the founder of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. He came up on a very street corner where I was standing, on the street corner. And he stopped one day and let his window down, man, and extended an invitation for me to come to church. I thought it was very unique for him doing that. I responded to him and I said, I'll be up there one day. And that's all he said, and that's all I said. He let his window up and he pulled off. He came back 2 or 3 weeks later. He let his window down and said, still waiting. And I responded to him. I said, I'll be up there one day. So my life ended up spinning out of control, and I was all over the place at this time. And the pain got so severe that years went by, and I thought about what that pastor said, and I decided to make that move, man. And I ended up passing every church that I've seen, man, until I got to the church where he was at, and I walked through that door. And that was the beginning of my life heading in another direction. The reason I'm saying is because of what happened after I made it to that church. This man began to preach and to say words that had so much power to it that what the enemy was doing to me couldn't keep me from hearing the power of when he said God was able. See, I couldn't handle anything, but when he said God is able, I felt like I had a chance. And I just kept showing up, and I just kept showing up, man. And one day, my life changed, brother. And just giving God the glory that had this man not have come out of that building, that's why I encourage pastors that's inside these churches. Come out of them buildings. You never know that there's a lost individual out there that's just
right.
may need to hear something. And, you know, the word says you reap what you sow. See, that man
right,
sowed
right.
a seed that I could not shake. Even though years went by, that same seed was growing into a development that caused me to cry for help. And that's what the
right.
next chapter talks about, of cry for
sure.
help, man. And I did everything to the Lord as I was. And I took
okay.
all the drugs that with me. I was doing things like that. So this is why I think it's important to go to those places where people are bound and to
mm-hmm.
encourage them with good, positive information and come from
right.
the heart, you know, because if you're not genuine, man, don't go out there messing with those people that's bound like that, man.
Let me say something right
yeah.
there. You're making a good point. There's a phrase
yeah.
on the street that says, gain knows gain.
Oh, man, by all means, man.
Young people can smell when you're coming to them either in the name of God or even in
oh,
the name
yeah.
of them doing well in society and you're not real, they can smell it. And
oh, yeah.
if you're not real, they know that you're not trying to help them. They may not be able to articulate, Pastor, what the truth
sure.
is and what are the appropriate conditions for their success, right? Well, now,
yeah.
if I start off by telling you, I want you to be successful, well, I don't even know who you are, and you don't know who you are or what your best skill and talents are. How can
right.
I say that unless I first try to figure out where your strengths lie?
Yeah,
because if
exactly.
I'm not trying to help you in that way, sir, I'm trying to make you be something or somebody else that I want you to be that you're not. Perhaps I'm setting
danger.
You up for a lack of success.
Yeah, that's a danger. Yes, that's a danger, man. That is a
you know,
is a danger. And then as you said it, when you know the people recognize the game, man, I mean, you know, they're looking for what's real. And, you know, if you can't get down on their level, how can you pull them up to your level if you don't get down to their level? And see, this is what God did with me. The man got down to my level. He met
right.
me right where I was. You know, God knew that in order for me to reach Ricky, I have to go down here where Fat Ricky is and let him know that I understand that you're dealing with this heroin addiction. I'm going to come down here
yeah.
and talk about heroin. He didn't talk about, you know, how the word of God or things like this. He met me right there where I was.
He didn't bring none of that to you.
No, sir. Man, look here. I'm talking about you. I understand that you love to get high. I understand that you're hairy. That's all right. Don't worry about that. That's how he met me. And then, you
wow.
know, see them guys with guns and things. So you got to get out there. See, they don't mention things like that too much in church. At least I haven't heard them talk about, you know, the drug game and all these games about guns and everything. All they don't want to look at the news and see what the harm they've brought to the community. But it won't be. See, that's the going thing about the church. They talk about what happened on the news and what we're doing like this. But my encouragement to the people who don't understand is to do what the Word of God says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, but in all that you're getting, get understanding. So you have to understand why you're going out on the street, because the Word says, go out on the street corner. That's what it says. Mm. It's broken down for me. I know they say highways and byways, but then God wanted to make it plain for me. He said, go out on the street corner, because he knew I came from the streets and I was on the corner. So I'm out there on
right.
the very street where I used to cause a lot of destruction.
I see.
And that's
I see.
The reason why I go tell it, man. I don't tell
okay.
it because I don't have anything to do. I tell it because I desire to help as many people as I can. You notice that we were talking about earlier? When it says Paul
mm-hmm.
said he dedicated to the weak, that he knew he became weak, and by all means he said that he knew he just wanted to save some, just in case he didn't get them all. If there's 10 of them out there, and one get free, that's a joy right there. That's a celebration right there. Glory to God, you know. And it's on my instead of genetic, ain't nothing gonna happen. It doesn't go change. What do you mean? I can't say that because that'd be a lie. I changed. God changed my
yep.
life. So why he can't change somebody else's life? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't be able to see that, man, and that's where the hope is.
Okay.
You know, and I think it's very much deserved. Glory to God.
We're at the top of the hour. Let me go to this next break, and when we come back, I want you to speak to me a little bit more in depth. I want, you know, we're used to doing a lot of talking,
mm-hmm.
right? In fact, I said on another radio show, I was a panelist on myself, sometimes I think we're from the land of the bumping gun people because we do a lot of talking. I want us to move into how in each of the cities we're targeting, we can leave hope in action by being real and speaking the truth. So on the other mm-hmm. side of this break, I'd like for us to go into that. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery, and we're on with our panelists and author, Pastor Ricky Waller. He's the author of Still High, and we've been speaking about that. You can find that at www.bfcinstitute.com. Go to the contact page, hover over the contact link, and then find the backstory. When we come back, we will talk more about the truth about saving anyone wanting to be free after these messages.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I lived to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Our good saints, all the time, and all the time God is.
Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We have with us again tonight our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. We're speaking from his instructive and powerful book, Still High. And he's been sharing with us excerpts from the book. And as you heard in the commercial, you can find that on our website at www.bfcbravofoxcharlieinstitute.com. Simply go to the contact page, and then you'll find a link to our back store. Now, having said that, The Mighty Clouds of Joy sang the song "Order My Steps." What is more, what is need more than anything else in life is young and old people need to understand that Yehovah Elohim, the Lord God of creation, is a God of order. And if you, me, or anybody else find ourselves out of God's order that He ordained for us as human beings, we will be trapped in some way or another. The real question is, the real question becomes then, how is it that we get out of the trap and get into reality of freedom? That's where I want us to be right now. And Pastor, I want you to talk to me a little bit and give me some guidance here now. I need to come on up now. I noticed that you had one of the chapters entitled, on page 55, A New Way. Now, in our last 20 minutes or so, I want you to talk to me about a new way. And before we leave here, I'm going to offer three concrete steps to being free of whatever it is that's got you bound. Pastor, talk to me about that chapter entitled, A New Way.
Yes, I thank you, Pastor. I mean, you're working it, man. You're doing it, man. I thank God for what you're doing right now and how you present this. And if you don't mind, before I jump over into the new way,
how I got to
the new way, maybe to share how I got to the new way on
page 35,
cry for help. I like to read the verse that I was able to tap into. It says in Psalm 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, I cried out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaint before him and tell him all my troubles. I've heard people say, I'm not going to complain. But see, that's the thing about it. God want a person to let it be known, because I couldn't get myself free. I was in that trap, so I had to make a complaint and put it in. But I saw it in the Bible that it was okay to complain. So I poured my complaints out. I didn't pour one thing out. I poured all of mine out and let them know all about my troubles. And that's when it started. Pain started to take place. And then I jumped into the new way, as you was talking about, if you will, as we talk about on page 55. And I like this part right here when it says here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, in the new way, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears the voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. You know, it's amazing to know that I poured my trouble out. All he was ready to do then was sit down and know that I was ready for a change. And so as he was dining with me and I with him, he knew that I was ready, man, for a change. And that's the thing about the power of a new way. See, if you're not ready, don't play with me, because the Lord messes around not. You know,
did you say don't play?
Yeah, don't play with him, because he knows you're trying, man. And so when he knocked on the door of my heart, I opened it up quick, and I let him in.
Lord,
yes, sir. And once we had a sit down, and we talked it over. I told him my troubles and things that I was in, and he slowly, gradually started to restore me. You know, you said earlier, Pastor, about the steps of a good man, you know, because to order I had to have my steps ordered. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's why I can understand that song you talked about, Order My Steps. Glory to God.
Right.
And
so you had to humble yourself then.
Yes, sir. I had to humble myself.
Look, Pastor, you were fat, rich. You were the man on the block. But you had to humble yourself.
I got humble, brother. I got humble, man. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a little bit going on in a few minutes about that. I got so humble, I knew I was going to deal with the people in the community, because I know they're going to have a hard time believing that I changed, you see? But they don't know I had a sit-down. Yeah, I had a sit-down with the Lord God, man, the Almighty, in whom I heard so much about it, and said he was able. And so he sat down with pouring out my troubles to him. He understood me. He understood what I was dealing with. And so he just said, well, I got to be ready, because He didn't waste no time when he opened the door for me. When he came at my heart, Pastor, I just swung the door open, man. Didn't know nothing about the Bible during that time, but I was ready
right.
for a change. And that's what
right.
you know, he met me as I was. And so, you know, how can you sit down at the table and snort heroin and then the Lord say, I'm not worried about the heroin you snort. I'm just, no, I'm a witness that you get it for a change, you see? And that's how,
yes,
and that's how he came to me. You know, he made it known. He understood what I was dealing with. So here on page
right.
number 63, you know, man, Pastor, of
yes.
the New Way.
The New Way.
Page
the
number,
New Way.
Yes, sir. Page number 63, right here in the third paragraph, it talks about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. It says,
mm-hmm.
to this end also labor, strive to his working, which works in me mightily. In other words,
okay.
see, when my life changed, I just wanted to help somebody else. And so the
mm-hmm.
Lord knew that I was laboring out into the streets and out into the highways on the street corners, striving to do what I can to help as many people as I could. But it was going to be the Lord working with inside of me. You see what I'm saying? According to his working in me
right.
mightily. God said he wanted to work through me because he knew the enemy worked through me. He knew Satan worked through me. He knew that the enemy had control of my life, and he was working through me, and he done so much damage through me. So what's wrong with
right.
allowing God to do something through you that he can help a lot of people, glory to God? And so here it is in the next paragraph. It says right here, it says, my interaction with my friend had changed from a provider of destruction to a messenger providing a solution.
Okay.
They still show the respect they always had for me. However, now it was a respect for what I represented and the new way I was. So, in other words, it had an effect on the community now. It's gone from destroying and corrupting the neighborhood to restoring
right.
it slowly. You see what I'm saying? I didn't get a chance to get them all, Pastor, but I have gotten a few back
okay.
on the right track.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know?
Now,
and
now,
so
now,
in the,
now,
go ahead, Pastor.
Let me, you land some good foundation, brother. Let me press you though. Okay.
Okay.
Let me press you. You
all
and
right.
me now, we are walking down the streets of the Tome neighborhood in New Orleans. Some of the same
uh-huh.
stuff going on in Pork and Beans, Miami, that's going on over
yeah.
in St. Louis, that's going on in Chicago
uh-huh.
and New England and Inglewood community, that's going on right here in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Lil Shawty,
right.
they out there. And we got our Bibles with us, right? I like the way
mm-hmm.
you read the text. But watch this.
Yeah.
One of the Shawty's take a piece of a pistol, a Glock 9, and to give me that Bible.
Uh-huh.
Then
yeah.
what do we say? How do we minister that same truth to them if they done robbed us of our Bible and our money?
Yeah. Yeah, and you still got breath in your body. You say to them, you know, and there's still hope. That's where the hope come in at. You see what I'm saying? That's where the hope, the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, what are they going
right.
to do with the Bible and with the money? And then you have to deal with what was the purpose of why they took it. So what was the motive, okay? Now, if you begin to look at that situation, things like that sometimes will occur. But you got to be willing
yes.
to make a stand because not everybody's going to believe that this is real anyway. You see?
Okay.
So I don't know anything about you guys. I don't know anything. So I'm going to take the Bible and the money because we're tired of these certain type of preachers coming out here jiving on us, you know, and here come another one just like the other one coming at us. That could be the case. But I want you to listen to this last paragraph in page 63 because it kind of lines up with what you're saying. I was determined, and it was a daily fight to stay focused. So what they was doing at that point didn't take away from being able to stay focused, right? It's, you know, that's
right.
a tough one now. It
okay.
was even more difficult to withstand the doubt that the other individuals had about me. Many did not understand the change, but still believe it because of my actions. See, action
okay.
speaks words. And that's
loud.
What we know by action.
Right.
You see? And say,
right.
so simply, So simply refuse to believe it, regardless of the change. Some simply refuse to believe it, right? Regardless of the change they were seeing. I understood the peace and knew that the only way I could live and continue with this new way of life was to put into motion the words I was speaking daily. So in other words, I had to make sure if I was going to live this way of life, I had to continue to speak the words that I was talking and walking it.
Okay.
You see, it's a
stand
up. It's like, go talk it, walk it. If you're going to walk it, you still have to talk it. And that is the reason why some people may not believe. And that could be a part of what do you do after they took the gun and robbed you for the Bible and robbed you for your money. Do you stop getting it? Do you stay focused? You see, because not everybody is going to believe. Just say those cats done that, but not long after, you may have no telling how many that may believe just because you stayed focused. You know, because, again, I mean, some people in the community didn't believe that I changed. And still today don't believe it. Because remember, you said you Fat Ricky. Like Fat Ricky couldn't change. So that happens too now. So I think that's one of the things. Go ahead.
You have done a great job of explaining those things. The title of the show, again, is The Truth About Saving. I want to emphasize saving anyone.
Anyone.
Let me go. May I say that one more time? Saving
anyone, sir.
Anyone. Watch this. Wanting to be free. Do you see the relationship there?
Yes, sir.
Saving anyone.
Mm.
Wanting to be free. Now, what I would submit to you, listening audience and pastor, is that there are people who want to be free. They just don't know that they're crying out for freedom.
Lord, have mercy.
Now, how do we get them to understand that when they act out and when they behave in certain ways to bring negative attention to themselves, underneath it all, they want the right circumstances to be free, to be happy, and to be whole? You understand what I'm saying? So we're saying that, but if you don't mind, we've been talking about the book Still High, author Pastor Ricky Waller, who's our good friend and our panelist here, and we pray that he will be able to travel with us to some, if not all, of our designation in the coming months. We're having this conversation so that it can be shared nationally across America, and we want you to engage us. Perhaps you didn't call us tonight and talk with us live, and you will archive the show later. But I do want you to go to bfcinstitute.com. At the very bottom of the page, there's a phone number, there's an email, and ways you can connect with me directly. Love to talk with you, but more importantly, I need your support. We have a secure PayPal link that you can make a contribution, and when you do so, you will be able to receive a letter identifying that you gave to a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We've been around since 1990. And more importantly, we're registered in the state of Tennessee. But more importantly, you will enable us to take this message to the cities that we've targeted. Now, Pastor, as I mentioned, we often hear a lot of conversation. People are good about, you know, saying what the problem is, but what we don't hear enough, how do we move toward resolution or solving it? I want to offer that. In fact, it's my goal every time we come on to offer solutions, answers.
All right.
You've been laying out some things, which is why I've said to you, and I mean that honestly, there's a certain context to what you're saying in your book. And young guys who believe or who have believed that it's impossible for me to overcome my environment and these circumstances that have gotten me behaving in this manner, you are a living witness, an example that it can happen. And not only can it, but it will with the power of God.
Three things. I want to do with our audience tonight, and those of you that will listen to this show well into the foreseeable future. One is it is important that those who want to help individuals to save themselves, who are serious about it, we have to educate them as to what the truth is. Now, catch this. Truth don't change for nobody.
No.
It doesn't bend to the political will of anybody. It does not only make itself available to people with a certain religious philosophy. The truth is not able to be bought nor sold. But the truth is real and based in fact today, tomorrow, and forevermore.
Yes, sir.
If you're talking about me, there are certain constants in my life from my birth. It's what Paul was talking about when he said faith is the substance, the stuff that I've been through. Don't nobody know me better than I. And if you want to talk to me, talk to me based on what I've been through. That's my truth. You understand what I'm saying? That's my connection to the reality. See, that's real. That's what they mean when they say keep it real.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
So we got to educate people to what the truth is. Number two, help them to change their circumstances. Those are the conditions that I talked about, circumstances or forces that pull you in a certain direction. Watch what I said. I said help them. How did they do it for?
Okay. Yeah.
Huh? Well, how do you help me, doctor? I got to first be honest with you about where you are and help you and you identify the condition that got you lying to yourself, that got you depressed, that got you hungry, that got you cheating, that's gotten you using drugs, drinking alcohol, or abusing yourself or other people, whatever the situation is, right?
Yeah.
And then lastly, number three, support their efforts. Sometimes people believe, I can't do it without somebody else being here with me. Well, they can support you, but you've got to put the work in. Those little guys that we're talking to, they need to understand that we're here because we expect you to improve your life. And if you don't put the work in, it won't happen for you. We got to be truthful with them about that.
Definitely.
But you can, but at the same time, let them know you can trust that as long as you're working, you got our support. And we're right there with you in whatever way realistically we can be. So those are three things.
Yeah.
Educate them to what is factual, what is real. Help them to make the necessary changes in their lives, circumstances, and support those efforts as they do so. This is what we're bringing to these cities. God willing, we'll be able to demonstrate that. If you go to the website, you can see specifically what that process is. We're using research, qualitative research, which involves both participation and observation of certain things that are going on. When we're talking on the air, we're talking about things that we've observed in our occupational background. We're talking about the things that are documented in the research. But more importantly, we're talking about what's real for people and what they need, not necessarily what BFC Institute needs, but what the people need.
Yeah.
Pastor, again, I want to thank you, man, for intimating those concepts. And I want to encourage our listening audience to support this brother as he share his message and he strive to turn around the destruction that he personally engaged in and to save lives now, to save lives. You know, it was interesting the way it was worded. He said this is his life, from drug dealing to spiritual healing.
My goodness.
I like that. Give us a few words of encouragement, because I want to leave tonight with the mighty clouds of joy. Brother Joe Nagan is gone now. He led that group for a long time, and I appreciate him. He has another song that said, if God can do it, nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, I want us to leave on that note. After you give us some final thoughts there, Brother Pastor, I want to leave on that note tonight. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. And we want you to join us next week as we come with our next episode on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night. Lord willing, we'll be right back here sharing qualitative, instructional information. And we'll be making our way prayerfully soon to our first city. Pastor, go ahead and give us a little more background, final thoughts, and then we will prepare to close out the show.
All right. Okay, Pastor, it's been an honor, man. I've enjoyed everything that we have shared and the people who have tuned in. The joy is that how to tap into the solution. I mean, that's the most important thing of this whole concept of reaching out to hurting people and to say to anyone who is trapped in a world of addictions and how to extend a hand to them, I would say that the power of being able to recognize your desire, and when you have a desire, starting point of recognizing your hopeless and helpless situation, and if you just walk on into start to believe and learn how to trust, then you can look at your situation as you strive to change. And how that was able to unfold in my life, I took the necessary steps. The first thing I had to do was depart from me. I had to depart from the life that I was living. And then I started to do good. Even though you may not see it, but as soon as you depart from your evil, good is there waiting for you. And then I had to peace and pursue it. So I want to leave with the brothers and the sisters that's tuned in, to someone that you may know or a family member, you want to let them know. When you have an opportunity to experience change, just stay in it. You know, see, you can change and don't even know you're changing. That's because you've been used to doing what you've been used to for so long. So what I leave everyone with is this right here, Pastor, is to know that get out of the problem and walk straight into the solution. And that's the way change takes place. Amen. And that's my encouragement to the people.
All right.
Get out of the solution.
Well, you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. The author, Pastor Ricky Waller, still high. You're listening to the Talk Straight. We're going to leave with Joe Lagun. If you want to do something good, make a contribution to BFC Institute and help us to get this word out across these 11 now cities that we've identified. www.gothere, make a contribution. We thank you. God bless you. And we'll look forward to talking with you all on next Tuesday of this January. This month is almost gone. But again, we leave you with this thought. There is an order.
God, good thing. All the time.
Order.
And all the time, God is.
God.